Welcome to Engineering Success. I'm your host, Jamie Hutton, and in each episode we'll bring you an influential and inspiring guest from the world of engineering, science, technology and mathematics, sharing fascinating insights into their career journeys. We'll explore the challenges they face, how they keep motivated, and what the future holds for them. Speaking candidly about the engineering and other STEM-related industries, we'll find out what's made these successful people successful. This is Engineering Success. Welcome to episode number 45 of Engineering Success with our very special guest, Charlotte Huntley. Charlotte is a junior electrical, instrumentation, control and automation engineer at Arcadis. She joined the company in 2016 as an apprentice and has since developed into an engineer. Charlotte produces design and engineering solutions across multiple water industry clients on drinking water and wastewater projects. Charlotte has obtained her diploma, HNC and HND with distinction grades, and has just been awarded a BSc in Electrical and Electronic Engineering with a first class honours. Charlotte became professionally registered as an engineering technician with the IET in 2018. Charlotte was awarded Apprentice of the Year in 2020 by the Pump Centre as part of the Young Engineers Awards. She was also awarded Technician of the Year with the IET in 2022. Charlotte is a STEM ambassador and regularly volunteers to mentor disadvantaged youths interested in engineering and/or apprenticeships. She has also published case studies with the Engineering Council discussing the benefits that being professionally registered has brought her, in the hopes this would inspire others in the industry. Hi Charlotte, and welcome to Engineering Success. It's great to have you on the podcast today.
It's great to be invited. Thank you for the invitation.
Can we start right at the beginning? What first got you interested in engineering?
So I was 17, studying my AS levels at school.
Right.
And I knew I wanted to do something with my life. I was very keen to do something.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I went to a lot of different professions. I wanted to be a teacher and I wanted to be a lawyer. And I was very passionate about finding my hobby, my career, my passion. So one of my teachers recommended I looked at engineering, and I loved problem solving, and I loved maths, and I hated physics, funny enough, but they said maybe engineering. So I went on work experience to Aberthaw Power Station.
Right.
And I loved it. I loved the questions that were thrown at me. I loved the work. I loved that there was a problem and it was, how would you fix it?
Yeah.
And I thought, I could do engineering. And then the more I looked at it, the more it appealed to me. And then I was set. Then that's what I was doing with my life.
Fantastic. So what route did you take into the industry then?
So I finished my AS levels. I didn't technically finish my A levels. I'm technically a dropout, is what I'm classed as.
Right.
So I finished my AS levels. And I decided to study engineering at college.
Okay.
So I went to the Bajan College then in the September to study, it was like a sub-diploma in electrical and electronic engineering.
Okay, yeah.
And then the January of 2016, I started applying for apprenticeships. And I was fortunate enough to be offered one with Arcadis in the September of 2016. So that's
fantastic.
That's what I did.
Yeah, yeah. So are you do you go to college day release? Did you follow through the engineering and doing a degree and that sort of thing?
Yeah, so the past 7 years I've studied on a day release basis.
Right.
So I didn't have my A levels obviously because I never finished them. So I did a year to do a sub diploma, which is the equivalent of your A levels.
Yeah, yeah.
2 years HNC, 2 years HND, 2 years degree.
Wow. Yeah, how did you find it? Did you find it tough or did you find it easy because you had experts at work that could help you with getting through your college stuff?
Oh, it was difficult.
Yeah.
And there were times when it felt easy, especially the first few years, but it did get a lot more difficult, especially with COVID.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
It got very difficult. And as I moved from being an apprentice. When I started, I was an apprentice, and then I moved to a higher role as a junior, and I was given more responsibilities, and I started a degree, and everything started. It became more difficult to balance things, but yeah. I was always told it would be worth it in the end, and at the time I said no, it won't. I'm having a terrible time now. No, I think actually, yeah, it was definitely worth it looking back now.
Yeah. It never seems worth it when you're in it, but once it's complete, and you never have to do it again, do you? You
know, exactly.
It's over, isn't it?
That's where I had to get to, I think. But
yeah. So like you said, you're working at the minute. You're a junior EICA engineer at Arcadis.
Yes.
So what does that position actually entail?
So I'm a junior electrical instrumentation control and automation engineer.
It's a very big title.
It's a mouthful. My parents don't know what I do. I've been doing it for 7 years. They don't know. And so I work in the water sector within design and engineering. And I work as part of a multidiscipline team. We've got mechanicals and civil engineers and all types of engineers, process engineers. And we produce design and engineering solutions for clean and wastewater treatment works.
Right.
So my job is looking at the electrical aspect of that, from medium and low voltage site power distribution, and then all the way through to automation and instrumentation for process control. I do loads of different things, calcs, drawings, specs, load schedules, so many different things for clients.
Yeah, so I'm guessing your job is absolutely different every day of the week.
Yes, very, very different. There's always a new project and there's always something to learn.
Fantastic. So I know you're a huge advocate as well of becoming professionally registered with an engineering professional institution. Why do you think it's so important for your personal development?
I think for starters, professional registration gives the individual a sense of achievement. It definitely did for me. It was the single-handed best thing I'd done in my life when really? I got my Eng Tech.
Yeah.
And I remember starting, I remember I got it. I was jumping up and down on my desk. It was wild. Everyone was looking at me in the office. And I remember feeling like I'm starting to make it in the industry. I'm starting to do something, because, you know, I didn't have a degree. I didn't have experience. I think I was 20 when I got Eng Tech. And it just made me feel like I was starting to belong.
Yeah.
It's a validation that you're doing something right. And then I think it's also important then that, you know, it shows others that you're competent. It gives you this community with like whatever institute you're with. It gives you a community of professionals, and it opens doors. It, I mean, it definitely has for me. Yeah. Whether that's promotions or new job opportunities, it's a really big milestone in your career.
Yeah. So are you going to follow through the registration and go for incorporated engineer and then chartered engineer? Is that the plan?
Yes, that's the plan. I've just submitted my Eng application, actually. So right. Fingers crossed on
that
one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So how long has it taken from Eng Tech to Eng? And then how long do you think it'll take from Eng to become CEng, Chartered Engineer?
Oh, that's a good question. So it's taken 5 years.
Yeah.
So I did my Eng Tech in 2018. I've just submitted my Eng.
Yeah.
Although the processing time is quite long at the moment. I think it's 22 weeks, so it might take a little bit.
Right, okay.
I think it'll take a little bit longer than 5 years, maybe 5.5 if it's processed. CEng, if it could be anything. I've planned for another 5 years. I'm thinking just 5 year jump. So
yeah.
If I'm chartered by the time I'm 30, I'll be happy.
Yeah, that's a really good achievement, isn't it, by the time you're 30?
That's the plan.
Yeah. Good luck to you, and I'm sure you'll get there.
Thank you.
So engineering as a whole, how do you think we can better promote ourselves?
I think we need more people in engineering to promote themselves, and whether that's on social media, or publishing case studies, or going to institutes to give talks, or podcasts like you're doing. It's we need people to start talking. So I think the more people that we get to talk about their stories and their roots, the better it'll promote all the different opportunities and the different pathways that are available in engineering to people.
So then how do you think we can enthuse the next generation into engineering and STEM fields?
I think we need to start introducing STEM at a really early age, in schools, in primary schools, and in the simplest format, so through games and problem solving. And then by having that foundation of knowledge, then you can develop it. So if you give them an awareness of STEM, when they go to comprehensive school or high school, they can start developing those skills that they've learned or those ideas.
Yeah, yeah.
And they can start developing their understanding of STEM and start developing what STEM jobs are, what STEM careers are. And that's why STEM ambassadors are really important, is that they volunteer their time the groundwork for us.
Yeah, yeah, going to schools, give talks and everything like that.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, keep that enthusiasm there. Do you think the education system knows enough about engineering to be able to teach the younger generation?
I don't think it does, from my experience. I was told not to do an apprenticeship by the majority of my teachers, by my family. Not everybody, but some of my family didn't think I should do an apprenticeship.
Right. Is that because you were halfway through your A-levels and they wanted you to complete that? Or
no, it was more around the stigma around apprenticeships,
right, okay,
and the lack of knowledge. And I had one teacher who was great, and she taught me about apprenticeships and she taught me about the routes available.
Yeah.
But when I was talking with other teachers about it, it was very much of, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know you could do this. I didn't know you could do that. And
yeah, yeah.
And it was, there wasn't enough there, I think, to support the ideas and to support exploring the ideas. I just don't think there's enough knowledge there at the moment.
Yeah, that's very interesting you say that, isn't it? That they didn't really have that knowledge to be able to pass on to their students, the different routes into different careers.
Mm.
Yeah. So then what would your number one piece of advice be to someone thinking of a career in engineering?
Do it. That's what I would say. Do it.
Just go for it, like you did.
Go for it. There's so many different roles in engineering, so many different types of jobs, and there's so many different sectors, and that's not very well known. We do talk about engineering as a whole, but the sectors are so different. And if you work better with practical work, then there's a role for you. If you excel at maths, there's a role for you. If you work better in planning or chemical engineering, there's different roles. I've got a friend, Jacob, and he works in engineering. He's, don't quote me on this, I think he's an instrumentation craftsman or an instrumentation technician. Oh, but he works completely hands-on, day in, day out. He's on the tools and he absolutely loves it. Now, I couldn't do that. I don't want to work in the tools. I don't want to work in the rain and the weather. So I work in an office, but he could never work in an office. I don't think he could. I don't think he'd enjoy it. But
yeah, yeah.
We're both in engineering. And there's just so many different opportunities that if you want to do engineering, look into all the opportunities and know there's something for you somewhere.
Yeah, because there's so many jobs. We only sort of like look at the little bits that are in the public domain, don't we? You know, civil engineers, electrical engineers. But there's so many jobs that come off of those actual disciplines, isn't there?
That's it. There's so many different variations.
So then what do you think are the biggest challenges ahead for engineering?
I think our biggest challenge is going to be trying to recruit and fill in the skills gap that we have. And that links into, you know, to STEM and schools. And I think there is a lack of awareness about engineering and a lack of career advice. And I think because we have that, people perhaps too late in along, or they think it's too late along, think, oh, well, I didn't know I could have done this. I didn't know there was that available.
Yeah, yeah.
And they decide that they don't want to pursue it at that point.
Yeah, they feel like it's a bit too late, but it's never too late, is it?
It's never too late to start careers.
Yeah, absolutely. So then who or what has been your biggest inspiration?
I've had a lot of inspirations. My mentors are probably the people who have inspired me the most. So I've had four mentors over the years.
Right.
And three have been personal mentors. They've taught me.
Right,
so I had Nasreen, Sarah and Sharon, and they're amazing. We're all women in engineering. And they've all inspired me. But the biggest thing for me was their confidence.
Right, okay.
It was unmatched. They pulled me towards each of them because I had times being a woman in engineering, starting as young as I did. I didn't always feel like I belonged.
Yeah, absolutely. I understand that.
And they made sure that not only did I belong, but that I was thriving. They made sure that I was taking opportunities, that I was thriving. And I'm incredibly grateful to have met them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My fourth mentor, Andrew, he is my technical mentor.
Right.
And he's been with me since day one on the job, 12th of September, 2016, Monday. and I remember the first time I met him, and I was 18. I was an apprentice. I level four in the company, didn't have a degree, didn't have HNC, I didn't have much of anything.
Yeah.
And I think my brain made this weird connection because I'm from Bridgend in South Wales, and he was from Bridgend in South Wales, and
right, okay,
he was awesome. He was a level 9, an associate technical director. I think he was only in his late 30s at the time. He had made it. He was team lead. He was just cool. He was like the Taylor Swift of engineering.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And the whole team loved him. You know, even if we talk at lunch and he wasn't there, there was never a bad word said about him.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at him and getting to know him. And the more I got to know about him, the more I just thought, you know what? I wanna be like you when I grow up.
Yeah, yeah. You cannot get a better team leader than that, can you, or mentor?
You can't. No. So I think he's my biggest inspiration. And I always think, I try to always think, what would Andrew do in this situation? And
yeah.
I make a move. I try to think, is this what would be best for me?
Because
I know if I'm half the engineer Andrew is, I've made it. So I've just just got to get there.
Yeah, high praise indeed for Andrew, hey.
It is.
yeah, absolutely. So how do you keep yourself motivated apart from trying to aspire to be like Andrew?
Yeah. So I've never had one big thing motivate me, which I've always found interesting, because people always say, I've got one goal, I've got one motivation,
yeah, yeah.
But that's never worked for me.
Right.
I've always had small motivations. So to start, I wanted an apprenticeship, and then I got my apprenticeship, and then I wanted my diploma, and then I got my diploma and I wanted my HNC. And so I find little things that I can achieve in 18, 24 months that I can work towards, and that's manageable for me. And I have long-term goals, but if I say, oh, I want to, when I started, they said, oh, we're going to do a degree. And I thought, oh, 7 years away. I can't be my goal.
Yeah.
That's too long.
Yeah.
But each course was 2 years. So if I start looking at, okay, I want to get this course in 2 years and this course, suddenly somehow now I have my degree in it, and it feels like yesterday I started. But it's the little things that motivate me more than a big goal.
Yeah, yeah, because all those little wins add up to a huge win at the end, don't they?
Yes, yeah, that's the best for me.
Yeah, and sometimes you don't realise where you've come to if you haven't celebrated those little wins, do you? You end up at a place and you think, how did I get here without celebrating all those little steps to achieve that one big step at the end?
Definitely, and they're worth celebrating the little wins.
They're
just as important as the big wins. You know, I couldn't have gotten my degree if I hadn't gotten all the other qualifications in between.
They're just
that important.
Yeah, absolutely. So then what do you love most about engineering?
I love learning new things. I always have. And my role, thankfully, there's always something new to learn. But always, there's always something new. And whether it's a new project, or it's working with a new client, or if there's an opportunity to do a secondment or work with different teams, there's always something new.
Yeah.
And, you know, even if you've got a similar project, where you've got a two-pump pumping station in Wales and you've got a two-pump pumping station in England, they're normally very similar but completely different.
I
always find it interesting learning something new, and I'm always immensely fascinated as well by the things I learn.
So then what myths would you like to dispel about a career in engineering?
There's quite a few. I think the first one is probably the most obvious, I think, to me, is it's not just for men.
Yeah.
It was a really bad myth when I was younger, when I was in school, and there was a lot of mindset of men are engineers.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we were choosing our GCSEs, the boys would study engineering and the girls would study catering. I studied catering. It's what you did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's a myth I believed for a very long time. And I looked into, you know, catering and pursuing that. And it was great and I did enjoy it, but it wasn't my passion. It didn't fit me. And even at college, you know, there were no female engineering lecturers. There was nobody you could look up to who said, you know, women belong in engineering.
Yeah, yeah.
But when I joined Arcadis, suddenly there were these women engineers everywhere in the team. I thought, right, this is it. Women do belong in engineering. So that's the biggest one, I think. The other one, I think, is, again, it's personal to me, but engineering and apprenticeships, they're not on site. They're not, I know I'm a dropout, but they're not just for dropouts.
No.
They're not the traditional high-vis, boots, hard hat, in the elements. If that's for you, great. You can get an apprenticeship that does that. It's not. There are so many other options and routes. And there was no advertisement for other routes. I'm thankful that I had Arcadis and they took a chance on me. But there was nothing supporting that in the early stages. So I don't work on site, but I am an engineer, and so that's what I definitely like to try and dispel about engineering.
Yeah, absolutely. So what is the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
Take every opportunity given to you.
Good advice.
It's the best advice. So yeah. I'm an ambivert. And ambiverts have a balance of extrovert and introvert characteristics.
Right.
And for me, if I can, more often than not, I will avoid social situations. So whether it's going out on a night out with my friends, I'll avoid it. Or if it's a training course or networking events where I can avoid it, I will.
Yeah.
But because I'm an ambivert, weirdly enough, if I'm put in that social situation, I typically thrive.
Right.
But I've got to get myself there. So
yeah.
When I started with Arcadis, I was told to take every opportunity that's given to you. Just don't hesitate, take it. And so opportunities would then come about. Do you want to do this training course? Do you want to go on this event? My first instinct was, no, I want to stay in the house under my duvet by myself with a pack of Haribo. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But against my better judgment, I do it. And it's always benefited me. You know, the opportunities that I've had, I've been unmatched, you know, where I am today.
Yeah.
I definitely wouldn't have been if I'd stayed in the house and I stayed under that duvet.
Absolutely.
You know, I wouldn't be. So it was definitely the best advice I've ever been given.
Yeah. Great. And a great piece of advice to pass on as well.
Definitely, yes.
So then finally, looking forward, what does the future hold for you?
Well, so I've just finished my IENG application.
Yeah.
So I'm very, very excited about that. Very, very nervous about the interview. If I get to the interview, very nervous, but excited. I'm also looking to start an MSc in professional engineering
at
USW.
Yeah.
And then working towards CENG, hopefully. So busy, busy, a lot of steps to go yet. But
yeah.
It's a
long plan, isn't it?
Yes, plan, but focusing on the next year or two first.
Those little wins.
That's
absolutely
it.
Yeah. Charlotte, that's it. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, thank you for listening to episode 45 of Engineering Success with our very special guest, Charlotte Huntley. I had great fun with Charlotte recording this episode. I love the fact that she dropped out of school during her A-levels to follow her passion for engineering. Charlotte teaches us a great lesson that through hard work and determination, we can accomplish all we set out to achieve. Charlotte is a role model and inspiration for many, and has an amazing future ahead of her. Follow Charlotte's journey. All her links can be found on her podcast webpage. And remember, if you enjoyed this episode of the podcast, please share it with someone you think would benefit from listening to it. And also leave a comment and subscribe if you can. We've got more great guests coming soon. So, until the next episode, have a great day, and I hope you succeed in all you do.